Farm Doctor Weekly is brought to you by Co-Alliance Co-op, Wayne County Farm Bureau, and New Lisbon Broadband Communications.
Good morning. Welcome, everybody, to today's program. Today, I've caught up once again with Mr. Don Thurston, area farmer. Good morning, Don.
Howdy, John.
Always look forward to talking to you, and we try to do this every 6 or 8 weeks, and looking at, we're in a critical stage. I guess that's what I want to say. We're in a critical stage of the crop right now. You know, mid to late July, things look good. You smiles on your face. So are you? Are you pretty satisfied up to this point?
Yes. Yeah. I think, I'm not gonna give 100% of my crop an A plus rating. You know, it's not quite there. But we're in really good shape. We got just a couple of, fields here and there that may be subpar. I've got two fields of soybeans that may be about the worst beans I've ever had because of stand problems and that some of the heavy rains have pounded on. But I can't, you get outside of those couple of isolated fields and everything else is going to make up for it. Everything else is looking pretty good. Like you say, critical stage for corn, especially, is July.
Are we to the point, talking about moisture, are we to the point that pretty much, say, the worst case thing could happen, it just dries up, in August, September. Is the corn pretty much made, the corn crop?
We do want to reserve a little bit there that, having good conditions during grain fill, which will come, later this month and through August, would to really put the icing on the top of that cake, so to speak. Pollination is starting to occur right now. Tassels starting to come out. And, that's a pretty critical stage. And we've got plenty of moisture. And in fact, if I had a complaint right here, midweek, as we record this on Wednesday, if I had a complaint, it's that we could really stand for it to stop raining now.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Yeah. Are we too much moisture?
Maybe in my eyes, that may be a little more detrimental to the soybean crop than, it's strange. You don't want to complain too much about rain in July. Usually that's the kind of thing you that's a nice problem to have if it's raining too much in July. But we do have good soil moisture, to get back to your point, making the corn crop. We got the soil moisture, we got the reserves down deep. If it would have to turn really hot and really dry, really quick to really start digging into the corn yield very much. It could take something could take some of it.
That leads me into my next question. Because you had mentioned maybe too much moisture, of course, affiliated with that would be diseases.
Yes.
Once we we're approaching some hotter weather, some more humid weather, and with all the moisture, I guess that's we're kind of prone to some disease problems. Do you think that as well?
I am anticipating that. Yeah. Yeah, at least the humidity and the moisture, setting up good crops, will also set up the potential for disease, but at least we've got some ability to apply fungicides and try to protect our yield with those type of treatments, some of the weather things you can't control, but at least we do have some crop protection options there.
And I think I've heard more about fungicides. Are people going to apply them this year more so than in the past? I mean, there's enough data and information out there to prove that those are beneficial. So, with pricing where it's at, is this a year that a guy gets more aggressive with preventative stuff?
Likely, yes, that we're protecting bushels that are worth much more. From an economic analysis standpoint, it does make it more feasible to apply, to spend that money, to your payback. It takes fewer bushels to pay for your application.
And is that how you determine whether you apply a fungicide or not? Do you take individual hybrids maybe and study those and see if they're more responsive to fungicides, or are you of the open mindset that, hey, I'm just going to go across board?
We do tend to want to look and make sure the disease is present. But at this point, starting out here right at tasseling time, we're seeing enough disease in the lower canopy of the corn crop site that we're anticipating that is going to keep building up into the upper canopy with the kind of weather we've had. We've had an awful lot of humidity, several foggy mornings. You know, that's the kind of thing that drives that up into the upper canopy on corn. That being said, you know, we still want to get eyes on it. There is kind of an art, really, to knowing how to apply your fungicide. I'm not going to say that there aren't some farmers who, and I'm not saying they're wrong, that there aren't some farmers who just routinely apply fungicide because they've seen a response to it. I'm not saying they're wrong. I just tend to like to know that the disease is there before I spend that money. Soybeans though, John, that's a little different story, because I think year in and year out we have a lot of historical bias, you know, when we make that decision, that year in and year out, even if we don't see disease, we tend to see a response. So we're a whole lot more likely in soybeans just to make the application.
Obviously, the fungicide applications are timely. Beans a little more forgiving than corn when applied, or not? Or is there a little more of a window, I guess, for an application in beans than corn?
You know, I think that's probably fair to say, but we're not talking about a large window. It's not a whole lot larger than it is in corn. I think in corn the critical thing is where's the disease at in the canopy? If it's at the ear leaf or above, that's when it has the potential to really get into your bushels. You know, if it's down lower in the canopy, it doesn't tend to affect your yield as much because those leaves aren't getting as much sunlight, not contributing that much to the plant as a, you know, if you think of the plant as a factory that's producing that ear of corn, you know, those aren't contributing that much just because they're lower in the canopy. There's less sunlight. Now soybeans, total different plant structure, and you know, that's soybeans a little different animal, you know.
Let's back up a little, because I've always asked you, it seemed like, because I'm kind of fascinated about it myself, but have you had a chance to look this year? Is the early maturing beans, are you still, you know, it seems like we're in a tendency to go every year, it seems like we're putting earlier maturing beans out, or it's more of the...
Early maturity planted early.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Are you still... the mindset that, you know, that's a direction that you'd like to go, or you know, just hope that they keep progressing like they have in, you know, last few years, that they've been some good beans.
Yes. Yeah. There's also more risk going along.
Right. Exactly.
Because we have what we planted early, and we're talking, you know, prior to April 20th, you know, we started on April 6th. But some of what we planted early had some issues with frost, and it wasn't a total loss, but about half of those early planted acres, we had to go back and spot in some beans and some thin spots. So we think now, based on what we've done in the past, that, yeah, it's still worth doing, but it's not always smooth sailing, you know, that those early beans get a more get enough growth on them to start blooming early, and they set more pods and they have more yield potential, and you know, we think that's worth going for, but our track record, you know, as far as that paying off, it's not as good as we wish it was, but it's been good enough to keep us doing it. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. But you know, it just I'm wanting to believe whether that's going to become more of a of your program or someone else's program every year. I mean, if the earlier, if it keeps going more route, but and there's all kinds of reasons for that. That a guy would want to or not.
And realize that at that point in the planting window, you know, where we're talking about soybeans prior to April 20th or April 25th, wherever you draw that line, what you want to call early, you don't always get very big windows, you know, in there to plant a lot of crops, period. You know, you still got to have good conditions to plant it. And so that's probably more than anything what would keep us from going whole hog. And, you know, it's hard to imagine that we'd ever plant half our crop because you just don't get enough good planting days to put that much in.
Well, and the reason I ask you that is because as farms get bigger, there's got to be a starting point to get a crop in the ground, to get done. So I guess that's, you know, some of the reasoning for earlier planted stuff.
Yes, yeah. And you know, kind of your ace in the hole is that if you start early and it just doesn't work out, you figure, hey, we'd still have time on the back end to replant it and maybe not be planting any later than we otherwise would have if we didn't start early. So it's there's a lot of variables in those decisions on whether that's
and everyone's going to be different. Hey, Don, let's get a quick break, and our time's about to get away from me here, but we'll get right back with you.
Co-Alliance, your local farmer-owned cooperative, is committed to cultivating communities, standing behind their value of conservation and service in rural and urban communities. They're proud to have a strong history in their hometowns. They look for new ways to cultivate success in the communities that they call home. Agronomy, liquid fuels, propane, home heat, and grain marketing. Co-Alliance Cooperative, your local farmer-owned cooperative and part of the community since the 1920s.
We spend our entire lives hearing the word no, and we're always told what we can't do. My fellow Americans, it's time that we stand up for ourselves and what we want. It's time that we say yes. When it comes to high-speed internet, say yes to an LBC. When it comes to no data caps, say yes to an LBC. When it comes to free installation and local customer service, say yes to an LBC. Join the Say Yes movement right now at NLBC.com. NLBC, your life connected.
Did you know Indiana Farm Bureau offers its members thousands of discounts and everyday expenses? A Farm Bureau membership gives you access to more than 250,000 offers, such as discounts on hotels, rental cars, flowers, restaurants, movies, equipment, vehicles, and more. This includes featured discounts with major brands like Ford, John Deere, and Granger. Using just one of Indiana Farm Bureau's member discounts can save you more than the cost of your annual membership. Anyone can become a member. Find out more at infb.org today.
Back now with area farmer Don Thurston of Thurston Farms. Don, and we'll just dabble into this a little bit. You know, pricing has remained good in the last few weeks. It's not done much. I mean, it's remained kind of high and stable. You're anticipating that, I guess, maybe through the remainder of the season, or even a little better than it's been.
Stable is kind of in the eye of the beholder. I think it's been kind of volatile, but as long as new crop beans stay north of $13, we got to keep it in perspective, right?
Exactly.
That we've been kind of bouncing around there, and prices are still good, even though we had a sell off, and then we had a crop report that drove it up, and then it.
That leads me to my next question. I'm going to ask you this, and we had a chance, so it's not something I'm just throwing out at you. Do you think, you know, world inventories are low? Do you think that's driving the markets? I mean, it needs some direction to go now because, you know, we lived off the South America thing, you know, the COVID thing, all the reasons for, you know, the grain markets getting better, less planted acres than they anticipated. But, you know, what do you think... it's going to take, you know, I guess weather issues now.
I think so. You made some excellent points within your question that you know, the time frame right now when the crop is being made, you know, things can turn, you know, relatively quickly on nothing more than a weather forecast, you know, for any part of the Midwest. You know, coming up to this point, you know, we had some, you know, some supply and demand figures coming in the form of USDA reports, you know, that kind of, you know, the acreage now that USDA has come out and reported how many planted acres they think is in the corn and soybean crop nationwide. So those things have kind of, prior to, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, those were question marks. Now those are kind of penciled, or they're drawn in ink now. You know, not that they can't change, USDA can't change, but it's going to be, it probably won't change any of those type of numbers, you know, as far as acreage, until maybe January. So now it's all about yield. It's all about yield. What are traders, you know, people in the market anticipating the yield, and what's the main driver of that? Weather. Now there's a few other variables still out there. You know, South America, you know, South American weather, Chinese demand, still variable. Not as big an intention getter, you know, for the next several weeks as what weather's going to be. So it could still be volatile, based on, you know, say the weather forecast that kind of took us down reasonably hard, you know, there last week was the weather forecast for the Western Corn Belt, you know, Iowa, Minnesota, the Dakotas, where it's been exceptionally dry. So they got some rain. All right, now it's starting to turn hot and dry in the forecast out there again. Will we see that come to fruition, or will that weather forecast be, you know, turn out to be a bust? Actually, the 8-14 day forecast and the 6-10 day forecast for the Eastern Corn Belt's gotten hot and dry. Is that a trend that's going to stick around? We could still see some fireworks in these prices if we see that yield is going to get clipped from, you know, from a weather event. Absent that, if that doesn't come about, I personally am not looking for a lot of downside in the markets, because especially soybeans, corn, yeah, it could have a little more room to fall, but I don't, we're not going, it's just hard to see getting a corn crop big enough, or a demand situation big enough, to drive that thing back down below $4 like we've seen for, you know, last year and the year before. No, I don't think that's in the cards. I don't think there's that much crop out there. I don't think we can get the crop big enough to make that happen. Soybeans is still looking tight as far as, the crop size and relative to the demand. Even if we raise a really good bean crop, it looks like we're going to need every bit of it to satisfy demand. So, that would be where I would expect more fireworks, if we get the summer weather turning against us as far as, you know, production. Yields get trimmed, it could go up from here. Yeah,
that's good information. Hey Don, what's going to probably wrap it up. Thanks for your input today. Look forward to working with you here again down the road here in 6 weeks. We'll see what the weather brings us then.
Sounds like fun.
That wraps it up for this week's show. Take care, everyone. Stay healthy and stay safe.
Farm Doctor Weekly has been brought to you by Co-Alliance Co-op, Wayne County Farm Bureau, and New Lisbon Broadband Communications.